This is Wade Rathke. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30. This is Wade's World on KABF FM 88.3. We're at 100,000 watts of people power, broadcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas. KABF Wade's World is a weekly interview show, and we talk to the most interesting people in the world. Today, we're speaking in Delhi, India, with Dharminder Kumar, Director of the India FDI Watch Campaign and Acorn International's operations in Delhi. Welcome, Dharminder, to Wade's World. Yes, indeed. It's good to see you. I missed coming to India last year. We got a little bit too crazy. But you've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah, this has been quite a busy year for all of us because lots happened around Walmart in India, you know.
First, we ought to start just tell people, what do we mean by FDI? That's a common term here, but in Arkansas, even though that's the home of the Walmart behemoth, what's FDI, Dharminder?
FDI stands for Foreign Direct Investment. So this is one direct and obvious way of investing in some other country.
So we're talking about
foreign investment. Walmart is the largest global retailer, so they need to invest directly in various parts of the world.
And years ago, they said that India was going to be their number one target, didn't they? But FDI has a long history back to independence in India as well. For a long time, India was very careful as it became independent about not allowing some investment to take over from local industries, right?
Yeah, because of the past experience, colonial experience, because basically, India was ruled by a trading community who came here to invest and do trade. And after 200, 300 years later, now we have a company called Walmart trying to come here and trade and invest. So there is a sense of fear. And that fear is arising out of the real experiences that the Indians had in past. So even after the independence, the economy has been not so open. And though we were not closed theoretically, we were open to FDI or foreign investment, but subject to that it helps create jobs, it brings in technology, or it enhances your production base. But we were a little bit suspicious of all sorts of FDI.
Well, and you have to be. But so gradually over the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a liberalization of foreign direct investment in a number of Indian economic sectors, right?
Yeah, now we are almost open to FDI, except a few sectors, and retail was one of them.
And banking and insurance as well.
Banking, insurance, and defense. And,
well, defense, that's smart too. And in retail, it's largely multi-brand retail. Now, what's the difference when we say multi-brand retail? What are we talking about?
This is a bit confusing because this is something peculiar to India, I believe, the difference between single brand and multi-brand. But as the government defines it, the single brand retailers are basically those retailers who are also manufacturers and who sell internationally under a single brand.
Gotcha.
So they are manufacturers of their own produce as well as they sell it internationally under a single brand, just one brand.
So a good example is Nike shoes, right?
Nike, Adidas, Reebok.
And they've been allowed to come into India for the last number of years as a single brand retailer, right?
Yeah, India allows them in single brand retail.
The other big issue besides regulations and rules, though, is that people are very cautious about multi-brand retail because of the huge employment numbers that are involved in what's been a smaller retail section. But I think I've heard the figure, we've used the figure, 20 million jobs?
It's 45 million.
45, okay. And that includes everything from small, but in the U.S. they would call mom and pop shops or Barani dealers to hawkers and street sellers, everybody.
Not really. That only includes small mom and pop shops, as you say in US. It excludes street vendors, it excludes hawkers, it excludes all those who are in the supply chain. So we are talking only about the mom and pop shops.
So no wonder
when you say 45 million. So if
so
we,
God knows what it is, you know, that could be another 15 million.
There are certain estimates. As per the government recent data, in cities, 2% of the population are basically in street vending. So you can obviously add 10, 15 million more. So
easily. So when we talk about street vending, what does that look like in India? Obviously, not a lot of people listening to us have the good fortune of visiting India. But what would that be? That'd be everybody selling produce on the side of the street, vegetable carts. It'd be everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the parliamentary committee, which basically investigated the issue of FDI in retail or allowing Walmart in India, in its opening sentences, it described India as a democracy of street markets. So, and it termed India as a country of retail democracy. And when they said that it's a retail democracy, they basically meant that the street markets has been a part and parcel of the life and culture of the communities here. And in countryside also, you have weekly markets, daily markets, and the same continues even in the cities like Delhi and Mumbai. In city like Delhi, we have more than 300 weekly markets, and in all of these weekly markets, more than 1,000 people, including men and women, and aged, and people with disabilities, they basically survive selling some stuff in the streets with a very small capital of maybe $10, $20, selling some lemons, some carrots.
But that's their living. That's their livelihood.
And this is important because in the absence of complete social security, this is the last security that they can adopt, you know. So this acts as a social safety net, as a safety valve for the poorest of the poor. So from the development perspective, I think it is important to understand that the model of retail services that Walmart is propagating could be disastrous from the angle of human rights and from the Millennium Development goal of eradicating poverty.
Exactly right. And so that's street sellers. Hawkers are a little bit different. What's a hawker, as we use the term?
Hawkers are basically those who do not have a fixed structure or even a fixed space. They basically move around either with some kind of load on their head, on their shoulders, or with some kind of push cart. With certain things or without certain things, but they basically move around the neighborhood.
And
hawking and trying
yelling
to,
out that they've got something for sale. That's right. Yeah. It's still common, and not that common, but there's still hawkers that sell vegetables where I live in New Orleans. But here it's a very common thing.
It's very common in all kind of neighborhoods.
And we organize a lot of hawkers in Delhi and Mangalore and elsewhere, don't we?
Yeah, we have also tried to bring them together on certain platforms. And we have initiated in last couple of years a committee called Hawkers Joint Action Committee. And in last couple of years, they have done tremendous work, and they finally won their battle to get recognized by the state, and now they have an act for their protection of livelihood.
I want to hear more about that. So within the FDI context, how did the India FDI Watch campaign begin, and who's been part of that over the last number of years? I know you've been involved right from the beginning, haven't you, Dharmendra?
We hardly had any experience of a so-called modern superstore, hyperstore kind of retail revolution. So, as I said earlier, that we were basically doing with street vendors, hawkers, small mom-and-pop shops, and that's how we were doing business, and we were providing services in all sorts of circumstances with very little margin. But when Walmart started taking interest in India, it basically created a lot of buzz in the civil society, in the trading community, in the community of producers, manufacturers, workers. And the buzz was that what would be the impact of something like Walmart? And there was intense discussion that took place for years and years at all levels, at the level of civil society, at the level of government, and there were views which were extreme from both sides. And it was felt by majority of the people in India that this could have adverse impact on most of the stakeholders, including small farmers, mom and pop shops, street vendors, and all those who are in the supply chain.
Well, because there was such talk about large farming operations that Walmart was going to have. They were going to directly source and a whole new agricultural model. Clearly, people, the whole notion of a big box store, I mean, people can only imagine what it's like to be in central parts of the major cities, what kind of impact it would be to drop a 100 or 150,000 square feet. There just weren't rules and regulations was part of our argument, wasn't it, Dharminda? That what were the rules that would protect jobs, that would protect communities, that would instruct Walmart on how much sourcing. And there was just a vacuum out there when it was first proposed by the government. Clearly, Walmart itself was coming in and out of India lobbying for pretty much a blank check, weren't they?
Yeah, they were hardly any regulations. And what we did, that we finally succeeded in getting lots of regulations as riders or conditions for Walmart in India. And the riders that they would be able to source certain sort of their stuff from the Indian medium small enterprises, and it should be at the state level. The decision should finally rest with the state, because we are also like US, a federal country, and retail comes into a state subject. So
we're almost jumping ahead of us, because at first Walmart was forced, they couldn't be a 51% operator. They created some sort of an alliance, didn't they, with one of the major Indian companies?
Yeah, there is also a cap of 51% in retail, but what you are talking about of a partnership with Indian retailer, what happened that around 2007, if I remember it correctly, it was 8th August 2007 when Walmart announced its partnership with Indian retailer Bharti. And that partnership was basically to operate cash and carry wholesale stores. So that was something which was, I believe, not so common for Walmart. It's something like Sam's Club in US.
Yeah, Sam's Club is a wholesale operation.
It's a wholesale operation, and they were not allowed to sell directly to consumers. And we noticed lot of loopholes in those permissions also, and we objected to those permissions because they were really indeed selling stuff directly for personal consumptions, you know.
Well, and I think there's a well-known case here in India with Metro, right? Bangalore area, where they were fined by the government for trying to sell directly. And Metro is a German, sort of the German Walmart, if you will.
Yeah, it's a
big
German
box
wholesaler, yeah.
Operator, wholesaler there, and they've had a footprint in Mumbai and Bangalore and some other cities. So Walmart at first said they were just going to handle the back shop, right? Logistical, warehousing, and Bharti, I think, were going to be in the front.
Bharti was managing the front in detail, but there was a common perception that this is just a arrangement to bypass the law and to have some kind of entry through the back door, you know,
as
it was termed by many Indians, including various political parties, that it was a backdoor entry to Indian retail services by Walmart. And it indeed was, you know. Now things have changed. They have lost their partner. They are on their own, and they are looking for a new partner. And as the regulation goes now, they have to have a new partner, because they can only invest up to 51%. So for the rest of 59%, they have to have one Indian partner. Then they need to have permission from the states. They need to source 30% from the Indian medium small enterprises. And they also are allowed only in million plus cities, in cities which has population of more than 1 million, like Delhi, Mumbai, Chennai, Bangalore. So it's not that easy.
In fact, initially they said they were going to back off of expansion in India after the first regulations were proposed, right?
Yeah, I believe means they are trying to pressurize the government of India to dilute these regulations, and that kind of aggressive stand of backing off from the Indian plan was part of that whole game plan, you know, of pushing things.
Because I think in the discussions you and I were having, it looks like the big United Kingdom company, Tesco, is the one that sort of jumped out at this point to try to see if it can make the regulations work for themselves, haven't they?
Yeah, Tesco has already applied for multi-brand retail, and their application has been approved, and they have tied up with Tata. So they are looking forward to open stores.
And Tata is a huge industrial and commercial enterprise.
Yeah, multi-industry.
They're in everything, aren't they? Steel and cars and telephones and
even salts.
Yeah, that's right. So
and soaps, utensils. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, Tata is everywhere. So if that's their partner, clearly they've got deep pockets there. But Tesco's had its own problems. Expansion to the U.S. they've had to withdraw after losing tens of millions of dollars on their model. So it'd be interesting to see what they do in India. But talk to me a little bit about the state-by-state situation, because they've got, as you said, I'm talking to Dharmendra Kumar, the director of India FDI Watch and Acorn India in Delhi, and we're talking about the fight over FDI investments, and includes our friend Walmart. What I was just asking him was, now after the federal policy was promoted by the Prime Minister, each state has to decide whether or not to sign off and allow this FDI to be relaxed in their state. So is this now a state-by-state battle?
Yeah, now it is a state-by-state battle, but this did not happen all of a sudden. Walmart was allowed to invest in India as multi-brand retailer up to 51% back in 2011. But once the decision was taken, the parliament was in session, and there were intense opposition and resistance to this decision inside the parliament and also outside the parliament in the streets. And government had finally to commit in the parliament, in the both houses of parliament, that there will be a wider consultation, and until a consensus is reached on the subject of allowing Walmart in India, the decision was put on hold. And that time there were regulations, but it was not a state specific. A state had no right to say no to Walmart.
And just to underline that, this was a huge fight here in Delhi. I mean, all of the parliament business was stalled for weeks, wasn't it?
For more than a week.
Yeah.
And there were huge protests, all India strikes, very historical strikes supported by almost all parties except one or two ruling parties, including Congress.
So I think what people in the United States couldn't appreciate is that essentially we're still complaining about government being shut down in the U.S. over controversy between the Democrats and Republicans earlier this year. But in effect, this Walmart lobbying, along with the other big companies to try to get this thing, shut down the whole Indian government for several weeks, didn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, this it's a big world, but it's hard to get the news out. But as you were saying, so in 2011, they finally got the government sort of broke the shutdown by stepping back and saying there'd be consultation.
Yeah.
And then how did that work out?
And then during the consultation, government realized that they had to, bring in some more regulations. And one of the major regulations that they brought in, that states were empowered to have a final right to allow or not to allow Walmart. So now, as the regulations stands, we have states as the final authority. And this has really make things a little bit complicated and difficult for Walmart. Because as things stand today, majority of the Indian states, almost 2/3 of the Indian states, are not in favor of allowing Walmart. Even some of the states which allowed them earlier are now reversing the decision to allow Walmart, like a state like Delhi, Rajasthan. So they have reversed the decision of allowing Walmart, so they also do not allow Walmart now. So you can say that even though there is a policy decision of having Walmart in India, they are literally out of not allowed in most part of the India,
including some of the larger states, right?
Almost all largest states, except a couple of them, which are ruled by Congress, like Maharashtra and Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah, so Maharashtra is where Mumbai is located, and that's been sort of the outlier in terms of, and it's been interesting because that was also among brokers and hawkers and others where there was always tremendous opposition to multi-brand retail coming in, but as you say, the Congress government, which is the ruling government, has let them in, or at least has given them a green light. But it makes it India different from China, where there Walmart and other companies have had, you know, agreements they can open up X hundreds of stores in these markets. Now, they're also barred from opening these stores within the central historic business districts, aren't they? Don't they have to be in the suburbs, or did I read that wrong? Even in the cities with a million people.
No, it only says that they are allowed in a million plus cities, but they are allowed to open anywhere within the cities. Provided they are in, you know, line with all other existing regulations.
Right, the existing regulations. Now, there was some investigation in the wake of the Mexico revelations about bribery there and Walmart's expansion. I think there were people obviously raised the issue of China and India, where there have been attempts by Walmart to expand. There were investigations in India about potential bribery, weren't there?
There were more than that were happening in India. And one investigation that the government of India ordered for is that whether Walmart lobbied for the policy change in India. But that report is already out. And that report is inconclusive. And there is another inquiry report that's going on Walmart's reportedly investment in retail trade, you know, violating the existing laws, because they invested in retail through a company called Cedar, which was basically an ally of their partner Bharti. So it has been termed by certain parliamentarians that it was violation of law by Walmart. So that inquiry is still pending. That's still going on.
And I think there's
apart from these two inquiries, as you asked that about the inquiry around corruption, there was an inquiry by the Walmart itself, and they hired, I think, the PricewaterhouseCoopers and other institutions to carry forward that inquiry. And it is believed that their partner was, like Mexican case, similarly engaged in corrupt practices in India as well. And that's what led to the breakup of their partnership.
And that report has not been made public, I bet. That was a report that Walmart had done internally, the Price Waterhouse thing.
That was an internal inquiry report by the Walmart. That is not public.
Yeah, because that's interesting. I hadn't read about that. But And I think there's still some investigations around in the U.S. around whether or not there were breaches of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, and definitely in the case of Mexico, and perhaps in India and China as well. I would bet that the Justice Department in the U.S. is probably reviewing whatever that internal Price Waterhouse report was in India. But yeah, they may be just counting on Bharti. So, in short, it's a very troubled road for big box retailers, whether it's Carrefour, I think, is increasingly not moved forward. Walmart is obviously questionable whether or not they're going to expand. Tesco in the UK is expanding. Metro, the German company, definitely has a footprint in Mumbai and Bengaluru and perhaps other cities. In the sort of cash and carry or, you know, Sam's Club kind of model as we were talking about. But this has been a long campaign, but it's no sign of ending anytime soon, is it, Dharminder?
No, it is still on, and the campaigners are now trying to block it nationally, and it seems that we are going for elections next month, and we will have a new government by May this year, and the campaign is targeting that whichever comes to power blocks them nationally.
Well, and I know you sent me pictures of big rallies recently. There's obviously a lot of heat involved in this campaign still. What was that rally recently, within the last couple of weeks, I think?
The opposition to Walmart had, since initial days, had been always very mass-based. And we saw a massive participation of people from all startup businesses, including street vendors and small shops. And they have been coming into streets, and they have been coming in numbers like millions. And there were national actions, with actions were organized in more than 100 cities altogether on a single day. So the opposition to Walmart is still intense, it is still widespread, and the number of protesters are in millions. So I don't think this is going to die so easily, unless Walmart backs off.
Well, this is a story we'll keep following, but we have a couple minutes left. We're talking to Dharminder Kumar, the director of India FDI Watch Campaign. And tell me some other stuff, just briefly, about what we're doing here in Delhi. What are the shelters? We run some shelters for migrant workers, don't we, in conjunction with the Delhi Corporation?
Yeah, Acorn India and its Delhi chapter has been managing 4 of the shelters. 3 of them are temporary, and 1 is permanent. And even the temporary shelters are being managed for last 3 years.
Yeah, that, so they're pretty permanent.
So they're also very close to being permanent. And those shelters basically serve the homeless citizens who do not have a place to sleep. And they basically consist of even street vendors or rickshaw pullers or casual workers. So anyone who needs a shelter in rain or in cold or in hot summer, so we provide them shelter, and we provide various services like trying to link them with government mandated schemes, policies, getting them enrolled as a voter, and getting them enrolled as for subsidized food, and
we also ration cards,
we also conduct various training programs to empower them to build their capacity, to build their leadership. So lots happening inside the temporary and permanent shelters with homeless citizens to empower them and link them to.
And we mainly just deal with men, right?
Yeah, we manage men shelters.
And we've also been involved in organizing domestic workers, waste pickers at different places. I mean, there's very few parts of the informal sector we haven't been involved with over recent years.
We are focusing on a geography, on a neighborhood. That's basically East Delhi. And our membership is now more than 2,000.
And which is real progress. That's a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, that's a progress, because we have been able to sustain them as a member, and we have been able to make them active. And now they are with us for more than 4 or 5 years. And these 2,000 members are basically in informal economy, either doing services as domestic workers, domestic helpers, or plying rickshaws in the streets, or selling stuffs as street vendors or hawkers, or are in the construction businesses, not businesses, construction workers. So there are all sorts of informal economy, poor workers of Delhi.
We're talking to Dharminder Kumar. This has been Wage World. I've talked to Dharminder about doing a regular feature from India on our, as a podcast, as part of www.kbf.org. Here over the last half hour on Wage World, we've talked about the problems of multi-brand retail. Bentonville, Arkansas, the home of Walmart and its enterprises, one of the largest companies in the world, if not the largest, and certainly one of the largest public employers of the world. We're all very proud of what Walmart does, but in India, it's been a big fight to get them to go by the rules and regulations. And as you could hear Dharminder's discussion, there's a huge coalition backed by millions, and a lot weighing on the coming political elections. We'll know that I think that vote is middle of April to middle of May. So we'll know pretty soon, won't we?
You will know by 16th May.
So, 16th of May, we're going to have to see what the future is. This has been Wade's World, www.kabf.org, KABF 88.3, 100,000 watts of people power. You can watch this later, listen to this later as a podcast, and stay tuned for Dharminda in the future. Thank you.